Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. If you have your Bibles with you, if you go ahead and look with me to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We'll be reading verse 10 down to verse 18. We've been in the life of Joshua now for some time and studying about the man Joshua before we ever got into the book of Joshua. Now we're into the book, and last week we studied that after God had instructed Joshua, then Joshua would have instructed the officers, the Bible says, and then the officers were to instruct the heads of the homes, and then the heads of the homes were to instruct their own families. And what a blessing to know that God has structured an order of authority. And I believe that God designed man to be able to look to him for authority. And as we look to God, then we have to look to the positions that God has established. And so last week we looked at the importance of positions of authority that God has established. And we need to honor those positions, and we need to be thankful for those positions. And it's just how God has designed things. Well, we find here, if you look with me again, Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be reading verse 10 once again. We looked at that last week, but then we're going to start there, 10 down to the end of the chapter, verse 18. So if you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together. And as I read, you follow right along with me. I know this is a midweek. A lot of things have been going on. We've dealt with a lot of things already this week. And but we're in church tonight, and what a blessing it is, even though sometimes it's a struggle to be get here, but we always know that if we can make it to church, then we can hear from the Lord, amen, and we can be encouraged by the brethren, and we can just receive the blessings that God has designed through the assembling of ourselves together, and so don't lose sight of that, and don't lose out on that blessing of being able to be here assembled together. And so let's now look at here in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 10. The Bible says, "Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, 'Pass through the host and command the people, saying, Prepare ye victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And the Reubenites and the Gadites and to half the tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of Jordan. But ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possessions and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side Jordan toward the sunrising.' And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest us, we will do. And whithersoever thou sendest us, we will go. According as we have hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Moreover, he be that doth rebel against thy commandment, and will not hearken unto thy words, and all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage." And let's pray. Father, we do bow before you tonight, and we thank you again for the opportunity to be here. Pray that you would just help us just to stay focused on your message and how you would have us individually and collectively to apply it to our lives. Pray that you would empower the preaching of thy word once again. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, they understood and needed to understand the positions of authority. And God had been working through Moses in that position. Now Joshua had a position as an officer, but now Joshua is placed in the position that Moses had. Now, again, it's the position that has the authority, and Joshua just needed to humble himself to fill that position as God would have him to fill that position. Parents have a position over their children, and they need to be faithful to fulfill that position of authority that God has given to them. Children, they can look forward to one day filling that position over their own homes and over their own children. And that is how they have been trained by their parents to be the parents that God would have them to be. And I trust that as parents, we understand that. And so Moses had the position, and he was being used of God to be able to prepare Joshua to take that position. And he had given him a good example to fill that position. And what a blessing that was. And so now it's come down, and so we find here that Joshua had given the instructions that God had given to him to give officers, the officers to the heads of the home, and then the heads of the homes to their family. The order in verse 11 was pastor the host and command the people. It was command the people. Commands, orders, and expectations are somewhat all the same. When you command, you ought to understand that's an order. And with that command and that order, there is an expectation of whoever you're commanding to do what you have commanded them to do. You have a position, and in order to fill that position the way that God had designed that position, there has to be this understanding of commands and orders and expectations. And again, not only in whatever positions that God has established, the positions in his church, the positions in the home, positions in the world. I mean, God has given and established authority. So we find here that they had been given this command. And the command that was given was, prepare you victuals. Prepare you victuals. Now, you think, wow, that should not have been a very difficult command. And sometimes it's the simple things that God commands us to do can have the greatest impact if we fail to do them. If it's a command of God, then it's important. Whatever that command is, no matter what we might think of the command, if it came from God, then it's important. We should not look to pick and choose what commands that we are going to obey. Prepared food, victuals. And from the South, I think that I remember my grandparents used to call them vittles. Whatever you might want to call them or whatever you're looking at, it's a food supply. Because without food, the human body will not continue to function. Just like water. You have to make sure that you have water. You have to make sure that you have food. Why? Because that's how God designed the body. And we need that. We can't continue to function if we don't have the basics, food and water. And so we find here that Joshua's command that has been passed down to all these positions of authority is prepare your victuals. Now the people could have reasoned with themselves and they could have said, no, we have manna. We've had manna for 40 years. As we went back into the wilderness for the last 40 years, going back into the wilderness, actually had a little longer than that, but when they back for 40 years, they've been in the wilderness, and these people are alive, they have been used to having manna their whole lives. And they get this order from the heads of their homes, who got it from the officers, who got it from Joshua, who got it from God. And all these different positions are passing down this same order. But it would be up to the people to fulfill that, because it would impact their lives. If they reasoned within themselves and said, well, I don't know what they're making a big deal out of this, because we have manna. We've always had manna. The food that we've prepared has just been maybe a little extra, whatever, when we had that. But we have manna. We have what we need. So it might not be as important as what they're making it out to be. So if they would have reasoned with themselves, chosen not to prepare the victuals because they thought that they would have the manna, they would not have been prepared for what they would have to face. Can I tell you tonight, we don't have to fully understand God's reasoning behind the commands. Now, I love it when God explains it clearly to us and we can see the reasoning behind everything that God commands us to do. But there are certain things that might be commanded that we might not see the reasoning to apply it when God tells us to apply it. We don't have to fully understand the command to know that we need to obey the command. See, Joshua knew, and he didn't, as far as we know, it was not explained to the officers, neither was it explained to the heads of the homes, and so neither was it explained to the wives and the families that were there and preparing the food for the victuals for all the people that would go over Jordan. But the Bible says in Joshua chapter 5, and this is something that Joshua was aware of because God had made him aware of this. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 5, verse 11, and they did eat of the old corn of the land, and on the morrow, after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. This was the victuals. But then it says, and the manna ceased on the morrow. After they had eaten of the old corn of the land, neither had the children of Israel manna anymore. But they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So as this command was being passed down to many of them, they thought, well, this is a simple. This maybe even ought to go without saying, but this is what the officer said to the heads of the homes. God has told Joshua to tell us, to tell you, to make sure that you're preparing the food. You have to have food. Make sure that you have the victuals. Make sure that you have exactly what you have need of for all the families that are going to go over this Jordan. I don't know, the Bible doesn't say, but I don't think the Bible actually told them the reasoning why. Because they could have said, because this is a command and you need to fulfill it, because the manna will cease once we get over Jordan. God had already told us the manna would cease once we were able to put foot in the promised land. So they didn't fully understand it, but they went ahead and obeyed it because they had the food to eat. But if they would not have obeyed it just because they didn't understand it, they would not have had what they needed to fight the battles in the promised land. So, what is the principle that we learn from there? Could be we need to give leadership the benefit of the doubt. And when the leaders of our home says, this is what we need to do, we trust that they have gotten those orders from the authority that God's established, and God has given them the positions of heads of the house. It might be very wise to give them the benefit of the doubt and follow their lead. It might be very wise for the officers to receive this from Joshua in the position that he had without him having to tell them the reason why, but just him being able to say, this is what God has told me to tell you to do. This is what God would have us to do. So you need to accept this and you need to pass it down to those that God has given you a position over, and they will have enough respect for you to possibly do what God says to do. Isn't that something? But if the officers had not have given Joshua the benefit of the doubt, then it would have stopped with them, and they would have never passed it down to the heads of the homes. And the heads of the homes had not received it, they would not have passed it down to the families. If they hadn't passed it down to all the families, then none of the people would have been prepared for what was on the other side of Jordan. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and I believe this is the principle. This is what the Bible reveals to us, New Testament Christianity, and Jesus wanted us to know this is what he established, and he had Paul write to the church of Thessalonica. And he says in chapter 5 and verse 12, and we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. To know them. Make sure that you know that they're getting their instructions from God. Make sure that you know that they are understanding the words of God. And as they're over us and they're giving us instructions, that because we know them and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. What is their work's sake? It's to pass on the instructions that God has for those under the positions that God has established. Are you getting this tonight? It is somewhat common sense, but sometimes we're blinded to common things. They're over you in the Lord, and they want to admonish you. And they're going to labor to help you, for your benefit. To esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, knowing that they have a position that God has given them to work what God wants them to work in that position. And when we're all doing that, and we understand it comes from God, then we can have peace among us because we're all yielded to the positions that God has placed in our lives. And if we look to the highest authority, which is God, then we are all doing the same things in accordance to God's will for our lives. Wow, go back with me. That's a powerful thought right there, and just understanding this positions of authority and how it affects all of us, even with the simplest authority, the simplest command, the simplest expectation that God would have of the families of Israel, the millions of people that would go over Jordan, is prepare food. You think, well, that would be an automatic. No, it wouldn't have been an automatic because they were used to having manna. If they reasoned among themselves, then they would not have prepared because they would have been counting on the manna and there would not have been manna. With this order, then he gives a promise. I love that. Because with God's commands, can I tell you, there's always promises associated with those commands, whatever they might be. And the blessings of the promises are for everyone that obeys the commands. So prepare you victuals. Now the promise, as you do this, for within 3 days, ye shall pass over this Jordan to go into possess the land, which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. They've been waiting 40 years to do this. Now, again, for us, we're reading it with it. It's not that big a deal. Yeah. They've been waiting 40 years. And now within 3 days, the promise of God came down from God to Joshua, to the officers, to the heads of the homes, to all the people. Prepare food and be prepared for what God has for us, the promise of the promised land. Promises will encourage obedience. That's, you know, I'm for encouraging your children to obey you, and sometimes you can encourage them by giving them allowance. I don't know about you. I mean, you can do what you want as the head of the home, but I think it's good to give them allowances for doing things that you've asked them to do, just to encourage them to do it because they're looking forward to payday. And promises will encourage obedience. And obedience is what's most important, even when you don't fully understand it. Now, there are promises for non-conditional. There's expectations for non-conditional and conditional promises from God. The promise was, you will be there. I'm going to divide the water. They don't understand all this yet. I'm going to divide the water. You're going to walk through on dry ground. Within 3 days, you're going to be standing on the other side of Jordan. Within 3 days, you're going to be where you've been looking to be for 40 years. What you've been looking forward to, you're going to have, within 3 days, you're going to have this. Unconditional, you're going to be there. Conditional, are you going to have what you need? Because that's going to be conditioned on obeying what I command you to do and prepare victuals. Unconditional promise here is you're going to be there, but the conditional promise was, are you going to have what you need to have in order to possess the land and defeat the enemy? That's conditional upon you being obedient to having the basics. Wow. Conditional and unconditional promises, I like them all. I love getting promises that there's no conditions to it. God loves me. No matter what, I can't mess it up. I can mess up our fellowship. I can never mess up, change God's mind from Him loving me. I can never lose what God's already given me, an everlasting life. It's a gift. If it's a gift, He gave me that gift with the promise of, it's everlasting. It's yours. It's yours. I love that. And as long as I understand the promises that are associated with conditions, then it's up to me. If I want that promise, and we should, the fellowship with God is not dependent upon God's love. The fellowship with God is dependent upon my obedience. If you truly want that promise of God's fellowship, of His communication, answered prayers, peace, joy, then I've just got to understand what conditions that I need to meet. And sometimes it's just as simple as preparing the food so you have what your body's going to need to fight the battles once you're there. Yeah. So this is what Joshua presents, and it goes down the chain of authority to the people. Joshua presents a promise, knowing that it's going to be there. it's going to be fulfilled. So Joshua, who got this from God, who passes it down, had strong enough faith to present this promise as a sure thing. And I trust that the officers then had strong enough faith to present this to the heads of the house of a sure thing. And likewise, I'm sure that, and I trust that the leaderships of every house had strong enough faith to present this to their families as a sure thing. You shall. No question there. Joshua said, "Now I got this from God. You shall." You can receive the unconditional promises without doing anything, and you shall have the conditional promises as long as you obey what we've commanded you to do. But the leadership had confidence in God's promises to assure those that were looking to them. Children need the assurance of a parent's faith in God. They need to be raised with the confidence seen in their parents of the reality of God and the blessings that are associated with the obedience to His commands. And when children have that, you've given them the best chance to turn out right that they'll ever have. Wow. As a pastor, if I can do that, I can give every church member the best chance to live in the Christian life that you'll ever have, because God designed it that way, to feed the flock of God. If you're in a position of authority, listen, people under that position of authority, it's not just you, it's a position that you have, but it's important that you fill that position the way God wants you to fill that position, because it's going to affect lives. Don't be so selfish to pick and choose what commands that we want to obey, because that'll be seen and those under your authority, and it will impact their lives to do just the same. Go back with me. Because then he addresses, orders were given, promises made, and then reminders. The reminders were given, presented to the 2.5 tribes, but all of Israel will be impacted by the reminder that he was given to the 2.5 tribes of Israel. Verses 12 through 15, he addresses these 2.5 tribes that Moses had given commands to for this very day. And it would impact not only the 2.5 tribes, but it would impact all of the 12 tribes, all the millions of people, God's children, that would be going into the promised land. It would remind them of their obligations to God and to the brethren. Because we do have obligations not only to God as God's children, but we have obligations to one to another as the family of God. And I believe it's even stronger when it comes to the household or the individual body of Christ. Every church has an individual body of Christ, and that's a family of God. And we have obligations one to another as we make up this body. And every other biblical church has their body and positions in their body that God has established. Now, Numbers chapter 32, look over there with me. Numbers chapter 32, we find what he's talking about here. 2.5 tribes wanted to stay on the other side of Jordan under Moses. And there was a little bit of discrepancy as far as should this happen or not. And there was some prayer and God directed. And this is what finally was agreed upon. These 2.5 tribes that were going to possess the land on the other side of Jordan that they had come to under Moses' leadership. And so in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Then they came near unto him and said, 'We will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. But we ourselves will go ready, armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them in unto their place.'" They're thinking about the whole 12 tribes. "And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. And we will not return unto our houses until the children of Israel have inherited every man his inheritance. For we will not inherit with them on yonder side Jordan or forward, because our inheritance is fallen to us on this side Jordan eastward.' And Moses said unto them, 'If ye will do this thing, if ye will go armed before the Lord to war, and will go all of you armed over Jordan before the Lord until he hath driven out the enemies from before him, and the land be subdued before the Lord, and then afterwards ye shall return and be guiltless before the Lord and before Israel, and this land shall be your possession before the Lord. But if ye will not do so, if you don't honor that, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out.'" So that's what Joshua now is referring to when he addresses through the officers to the 2.5 tribes, that he is bringing back up a reminder of what they had agreed to. It would remind them of their, first of all, obligations. Obligations to God and to the brethren. Their word was given. If you will, they had made a vow. And after they had made the vow, it led to this event. And now they were to live up to the vow that they made to God, which would impact the lives of all the other brethren. In the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5, let me read this to you. You don't have to turn there. You might want to write it down and go back and look at it later. But the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 5, verse 4 and 5, it says this: "When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. Once you have said you're going to do something and you've made a vow to God, then you're a fool if you don't keep that vow." That's what he's saying. "Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay." So now Joshua's saying, all right, we're getting ready to do this, and I've given instructions, but there's 2.5 tribes here that need to be reminded of their part in the obedience to God. And it, first of all, stems from what you've already said that you would do. Get ready to do it. It's time. Be obedient to what you have vowed. Yeah. Because you gave your word. It would remind them not only of their obligation from their word, but would also remind them of their obligation based upon what they had been given. Do you know that if God has blessed you, God has a purpose for how He has blessed you? In the book of Luke in chapter 12, verse 48, the Bible says, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." We ought to look at the blessings of God that's been bestowed upon our lives, and we ought to say, "God, thank you for these blessings, but you didn't give them just to me for me to hoard them. You gave me these blessings so that I might use these blessings to be a blessing to somebody else." God, you've given our part over here on this side of Jordan, and we have obligated ourselves. We've made a vow, but not only that, because you have blessed us, we can fight without having to worry about our families, because our families are on the other side of Jordan. So let us lead the way into battle, because we have our strongest men and we have just our soldiers. Our families are not here. We are blessed. They are kept safe. And so we can fight the battle without having to worry about our families. And so we can accomplish even greater things because of the blessings that you have bestowed upon us on the other side of Jordan. And God had a purpose for that. I believe that these 2.5 tribes of soldiers did most of the battles. They did most of the fighting. They got most of the victories, because they didn't have to worry, had to be concerned as much as the others would have. And they would go into each area and helping every tribe to possess their land. And that brings us to the last thought here. They were reminded of their obligation, but also to their allegiance. Do we have obligations? Have you ever promised God that you'd do something? Have you ever prayed and asked God to do something for you so that you might be able to apply? I'm just saying that's a vow. That's an obligation. Have you been blessed to the place where you can actually use what God has blessed you with to be a blessing to somebody else? That's an obligation. Along with an obligation comes an allegiance. There was an allegiance formed here to God, first of all, but then to their brethren. They were reminded that they were all children of God's. They were the chosen ones of God, which gave them allegiance to God. And then they were family, which gave them allegiance to their brethren. See, there could have been a temptation to relax when they had already received their own inheritance. But they had an allegiance. An allegiance is a commitment, a loyalty, a dedication to God and to their family, their other brethren. In the book of Galatians, let me just read, we're done here. That's just closing up here. But in the book of Galatians in chapter 6 and verse 9, it says this: "And let us," the church of Galatia, the church of God, "let us not be weary in well-doing." That's ought to be an obligation to God and to one another, that I'm going to do well. I'm going to serve. I'm going to be obedient. That's part of an allegiance as well to God. "For let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially." Now, we're here to be the light of the world. We're here to be a blessing, but especially because there is an allegiance here that we have unto them who are of the household of faith. That's an allegiance. Every U.S. citizen ought to know and recite the pledge to our country and the flag that represents our country. That's why we do it as a church every Sunday morning. That's why we have part of it, why we have an opening exercise. Our pledge is, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And we ought to hold to that. It's an allegiance. God would have us to have an allegiance to the country, the blessings that he has bestowed upon us, and to this nation that we are a part of. We ought to have that in representing Christ. They would show their allegiance by their actions. We're going to go and we're going to help every tribe to be able to defeat the enemy and to receive the inheritance that God has given to us. And we're not going to go back and we're not going to enjoy our family. We're not going to enjoy anything until we make sure that everybody has what God has for them. And then we can all rejoice and enjoy these blessings of God together. Isn't that something? They would show their allegiance by their actions. And so do we. Look at your actions. Look at your life. Is it based on obligations and allegiances to God and to our family, our brethren? I trust we have it. If I could have every head bowed tonight. A lot of good stuff right there. So God wanted all the people to understand. He gave it according to his positions of authority that they would be passed down to every child would receive it from the authority that God had placed over that child. As a nation, when we do that, we experience the blessings of God. As we are neglecting that, we are losing sight of the blessings of God. As a church, as a nation. Father, we bow before you and love you, Lord God. Thank you for the truth of your word. Pray that you'd help us to understand this and make whatever applications we need to make in our individual lives, our families, our church. Pray that you just continue to work in our midst. Bless now this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.